into the Cougar Tailgate, where BYU fandom lives. Here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? Lauren McClain here alongside Cleon Wall, and we're doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. Here's what's coming up on the show today. We sent Jason Shepherd to Big 12 Media Days with a few questions we came up with for the players and coaches, and we're starting with El Jefe Kalani Sitake talking about his hidden talents, pregame rituals, and how he unwinds after a stressful day. Plus, BYU punter Ryan Rico talks superpowers, his almost perfect bowling game, and which career punt stands out to him the most. But first, here in Utah, we celebrate Pioneer Day on July 24th to honor those who journeyed across the plains and established our state. Cleon and I will tell you who we think should be considered the top six pioneers of BYU sports, three women and three men. Cleon, do you think you could have been a pioneer and made it across the plains?
If my life was on the line, I'm going to say yes.
If your life was on the line.
Well, yeah, I'm going to try. I'm not just going to give up. So, but if my life's on the line, yeah. And I'd probably say yes if I was a much younger man. But right now, I guess a solid maybe. I don't know. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a fisher. I'm not really a handyman. I mean, to be honest with you, in my household, the handy person is my wife. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten I wouldn't have gotten a lot of sleep. Shoes were not great back then. I mean, if you took me like me right now and placed me back in 1846, 1847, I would have been a wreck. I probably would have died on the trail. But I probably would have survived if given the right training, and maybe if they would have given me an air mattress or a cot or something like that.
Yeah, which they wouldn't, you know? they wouldn't have done that. And in back in the day, you would have been a hunter or a fisher or something. You would have had more skills, right?
True,
you would have been
true.
Forced to have more skills. But regardless, here, listen. So with our church, they do trek. And my husband is of the belief that he said, I think the pioneers are rolling over in their graves. Like, we died so you guys didn't have to do this. why are you doing this? That's his view on it. But yes, luckily they did that so we didn't have to. And let's turn it over to sports. There are so many incredible coaches and athletes that have come through BYU and paved the way for future generations. And here, Cleon, are our top six whom we think have made the biggest impact on BYU athletics. Number one for me is Elaine Michaelis. You can't talk about BYU women's sports history without mentioning Elaine Michaelis in the same breath. She helped develop the female athletics program at BYU and across the nation, not just at BYU. I love this about her. She played volleyball, basketball, softball for the BYU Cougars, which was probably a lot easier to do. It was a lot less intensive back then. But then she was the head coach for four different sports at BYU: softball, field hockey, which I didn't even know they had a field hockey team, by the way, basketball, and volleyball from 1961 to 2002. She's most known for coaching the women's volleyball team. She's had 23 titles and won the inaugural championships in each of BYU's five volleyball leagues. That's just incredible. Then she was named the director of women's intercollegiate athletics from 1995 to 2004. And of course, the Smith Fieldhouse court was named after her. So Elaine Michaelis is number one for me as one of the pioneers of BYU athletics.
The number one guy that we're going to deal with, he has a stadium named after him. He's Lavelle Edwards. So yeah, I'd call him a pioneer.
Not to one-up you, Elaine.
Yeah, no offense to Elaine, but he's the guy who led BYU football to prominence. It's not like he was the guy who founded BYU football, because BYU football had been going for a long time by the time Lavelle Edwards started. But he took the team from an also-ran into a team that people talked about. You could even say in some portions, a national power, or at least a team that was known nationally. He was the guy who allowed the passing game to flourish. He knew that was his ticket to making BYU successful, and he found guys that would make it work, not only on the field, but also coaches that would make it work, because he was a defensive coach. But he knew that passing was going to be his ticket to making BYU a really good program. He was a steady influence throughout the years. He built the program up, had some really good teams in the early and mid-80s. You could even say some in the late 80s and a few good teams in the 90s too. But he was just a steadying influence throughout the whole entire time. There's so much we could say about him. But if it weren't for him, would BYU even still have a football team, Lauren?
Yeah, I I don't know. And I wonder, as you're talking, I'm thinking Lavelle up in heaven, and I wonder if he's like, you guys need to stop mentioning my name so much.
Yeah, he was a humble dude. He really was.
He really was, but he's the no-brainer. He's just the no-brainer. When you think BYU football, you think Lavelle Edwards. And not just us, but people around the country. Everyone has a connection to Lavelle. In the coaching world, you go anywhere, and I'm sure you've noticed this, Cleon, as you've traveled the country recently, learning about stories in the Big 12, but I feel like almost every team has a connection to Lavelle Edwards, and it's just an incredible thing. So he definitely is the pioneer
of
BYU football.
Even at media days for the Big 12, he kept getting brought up with different coaches. Yeah. Oh, I remember those teams. Oh, I remember Coach Edwards. I had this experience with him. So, I mean, even this, I mean, he retired. Think about this, Lauren. He retired 23 years ago. And we're still talking about Lavelle Edwards and the impact he had on BYU and college football. So, pretty cool.
Helps that he's such a good guy. All right, the next one, the next female pioneer for us is Jennifer Rockwood. And she is still at BYU. How cool is that? You can be a pioneer and still be flourishing in the present. The first and only women's soccer coach at BYU, and has turned the BYU program, soccer program, into a consistent national powerhouse. She is BYU soccer, Cleon. 22 appearances in the NCAA tournament in 25 years, and she's brought about 10 All-Americans. She's been so close to a national championship, and I just really want it to happen for her before she decides to retire. And we've talked about this before, and I'm going to say it again. They need to name Southfield after her already. Let's not wait for her to retire, because I don't know when that's going to happen. Southfield has to be Rockwood Field. That's such a cool name, too.
Yeah, it would be a really cool name. Do you think she'd like that, though? I think she'd be kind of like Lavella. She'd be honored, but it's just like, really, do you have to do that? But it should be done. Southfield, but let's admit, Southfield's kind of boring. It's a boring name. My number two guy here when it comes to pioneers, I'm going to go with Stan Watts. He, there have been a lot of BYU basketball coaches over the years, and a lot of them had success in different years, but no one beats Stan when it comes to longevity or the peaks of success. He was the coach for BYU for 23 years. He won two NIT titles back when the NIT actually meant something. It was kind of like an NCAA title. They used to have the NCAA tournament. It was very small back then, and then they had the NIT, which was in New York, and they won two different ones. And it's not like he won back-to-back years. He won one, I think it was like in 1951, and another one in 1966. So, I mean, lots of good longevity there and lots of good teams. He liked up-tempo basketball. He wrote the book Developing an Offensive Attack in Basketball in 1958. It was a standard manual on fast-break offense. From 1965 to 1966, Watts's Cougars scored more than 100 points 21 times and at least 95 points 32 times. I would have loved to have watched those teams. I love fast break basketball. I like lots of scoring in basketball. I like good defense too, but I really like it when teams move up and down the floor. He coached so many good players, including Kresimir Čosić. You know, he coached almost exclusively at Smithfield House. His last season was at the Marriott Center. Could you say he and his teams were the reason that the Marriott Center was built? I'm sure there were a lot of reasons why the Marriott Center was built if you go back in the archives, but I think basketball has to be a big portion of that. So that's why I say Stan Watts is one of the pioneers of BYU sports.
And you know what? The Marriott Center could be renamed the Watts Center. That would actually be really cool.
It would be.
You could do a play off of that in many ways, right? Like Watts, like light bulbs and electricity. And yeah, that could happen. No, I love that pick. He really was an incredible coach, did amazing things. BYU's been lucky to have so many pioneers, honestly, that to bring them to where they're at right now. My last female, and I hate to even say the last female because there have been so many that have paved the way for BYU to get to where they're at. But the one that kept coming back to my brain is Diljit Taylor, who is very young and is still a coach at BYU, a new coach at BYU, but she's the first non-LDS head coach, and she's a minority, which that's a pioneering effort in and of itself. She's aided several runners to national championships in her short time here. She got here in 2016 and a team cross country title in 2021. She's received a handful in those few years of Coach of the Year awards. And like I said, she's only been at BYU since 2016. She established Run for Her, which has inspired not just BYU athletes, but girls all over the country. She's so cool, Cleon, that she's individually sponsored by Nike. BYU is a Nike school, but DLG Taylor is sponsored by Nike. So like they give her stuff. So she'll wear it all around. She speaks at Nike events. She's just an incredible person, an incredible woman, an incredible coach. And I think even in those short, how many years has it been? 4, 5, 6, 7 years that she's been at BYU, she's already done some pioneering efforts. And I think everyone's better for it.
No, I totally agree. My honorable mention kind of goes along the same lines. Can I just say my honorable mention would be Clarence Robison. He was a track athlete at BYU in the 40s, and then he started coaching the BYU track team in 1949. He was the coach for 40 years, had lots of great athletes here. The track complex here at BYU is named after him. So, yeah, I mean, I sometimes think that people like Coach Robison and also Coach Taylor that I think back when Coach Robison was doing it, we weren't giving enough credit to the Olympic sports. And then we have someone like Coach Taylor come along, and we're seeing that people are getting more noticed for the great things they are doing. And Coach Taylor is doing great things for the BYU's cross country and track teams. And so, yes, I would agree. She deserves to be one of the pioneers just because of being the first non-LDS coach. And she has no problem coaching here, and she's had amazing athletes who've wanted to be here, not only at BYU, but be coached by her. And it's just, it's a really nice marriage, actually, between the two.
I agree. Who's your last guy that you got as a pioneer?
So my last one is...
That sounded so weird.
Yeah. My last one is going to be Gary Scheide. He's the guy who started the BYU quarterback factory. He only played 2 years at BYU, but he made a huge impact. He was number three in the country in yards passed in 1973. In 1974, he was tied for the lead in touchdowns thrown. Neither year would you find that to be a record now? Because I think the year he won the touchdown title or tied for the touchdown title, it was 23 touchdowns that year, 23 touchdowns passed. But he was the guinea pig. He was the guy who really started the offense going when it came to, you know, more and more passing. And if you look at the guys and the guys who followed him with their passing statistics, we got guys like Gifford Nielsen, Mark Wilson, Jim McMahon, Steve Young, Robbie Bosco. They all pop up because they had great careers and set records of passing, and they also had success on the football field too. And then we have Ty Detmer. He won the Heisman Trophy. And John Walsh, yes, he actually led the nation in passing 1 year, all because you could say, going back to Gary Scheide being the guinea pig in the new offense that Lavelle Edwards was trying to create.
And he has such a great story of how he ended up at BYU and how Lavelle reached out to him. I love Gary. He's just one of the best human beings that you will ever meet. And he definitely is one of the pioneers of BYU football. It was the football team's rise to prominence in the 70s that was the start of making BYU a national brand and putting it on the path to become a nationally recognized name. From Lavelle down to Kalani, who is now leading the team into the realm of Power Fives, Jason Shepherd was in Arlington, Texas for the Big 12 Media Days last week, and he asked Kalani a few questions for us that the other media members might not have been asking. Here's the interview.
All right, you have a very high-stress job. Everybody's focusing on what you do in your team. I want to know what Kalani Sitake does to unwind.
Unwind?
Yeah, what do you do to get away from it?
Well, first of all, I love what I do, and so, I mean, I am a fan first, and so I remember what it was like for me as a young boy to meet Lavelle Edwards and the players back then, and then I got to play for Lavelle, and now I'm the head coach. So everything that I do, it's just like this is a dream for me. So I don't think I can ever show more appreciation than just being happy with what I do and the people that I get to interact with. But if it's talking about me unwinding, I mean, I like spending time with my family, and I just, it doesn't matter, but I like to eat. So anytime you can focus vacations around eating.
Yeah.
It's a good vacation to me is you go a nice spot, but they have to have food there too.
Yeah.
And that makes it a great vacation.
Okay. So I know you like many different foods, but what's your go-to? Like if you have your choice and this is the one, what is it?
Probably like plate lunch stuff.
Like
Hawaiian barbecue. That's my stuff. So, and anything that with high carbs, and a lot of protein, then I'm good.
Right, there's nothing. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Okay, so you touched on liking to spend time with your family. So we've obviously, because of your children, have seen some videos of you dancing. Mm-hmm. That's been put out there. So I don't know if that's considered a hidden talent because we've seen it. Do you have any hidden talents?
I mean, I don't know if they're talents, but I like to do stuff. So I like to sing and I like to dance. I never said that I was good at any of those things, you know, but I just like to have fun. And so anytime there's something that's fun, I want to try it. And I don't mind failing at it. So if it's going to make people smile, then I embarrass myself, then it's okay.
Do you have any pregame rituals? Do you do anything before a game?
I'm usually more just kick back and I'm having fun as much as I can. I think nerves do things to people and they prepare different ways. But for me, I can't really just sit still. So I got to get up and move around, say hi to the guys. Yeah. And that time before a game, it seems like it takes forever. So whenever it gets close to, you know, under an hour, then I get really, really excited.
It's probably a little different, but was it the same way for you when you were a player as well?
Yeah, and then different players did, we had teammates that would take a quick nap before we go on the field, and I don't know how they can do that. Guys that would read and guys that would listen to music. And I'm good at doing it all, but I don't have any, like, rituals other than I call my wife, whether she's at the game or at home. So whether we're home or on the road, I call her just to check in with her. Usually around an hour and a half before the game, and then again right before we go out. So I just have to check in with my loved ones and you know, just communicate with them. Just remember what I do this all for is just to have fun and want to make my family proud.
Everybody knows how much Coach Edwards meant to you, and you've talked about how you would love to emulate him as a head coach. I'm curious, besides Coach Edwards, and I know you've mentioned Kyle Whittingham as well as coaches that have had an influence on you, do you try to mimic what you've seen? Do you try, with the guys that you really look up to, how do you try and implement them but still be yourself?
Well, I think that's what Lavelle told me when I got into coaching. It's one of the best lessons. I said that I wanted to be the Polynesian Lavelle, and he was still alive at the time, so he called me. He's like, don't say that anymore. I'm like, okay, yes, sir. And he's just like, just be yourself. So I like learning from mentors and appreciating things that they've done for me. And so, like, you know, Andy Reid, there's great leaders that I know, friends, and my father and my wife and Tom Homo. There's great people around me that have great insight and that have great intellect. And so for me, I'm just trying to learn as much as I can from everyone and then try to apply it to what we can do with our program. But I'm a better person because I get to hang out with great people, including yourself.
You know,
it's like, you could probably say the same thing. It's like you go to work, but then you go to a place where you're influenced by so many different people in a positive way, and it makes you a better person. And so I'm really enjoying it, and I'll take all the help I can get. And so in that aspect, I'm just really excited to be here and just honored that there's so many people that I could turn to for advice and for guidance. But I can also do it within who I am and keep my personality, my identity.
All right, last thing, Kalani, and I know you don't like things to be about you, but I'm curious with what BYU is now undertaking and with the Big 12 now a reality, what does it mean to you to be the man at the helm of this program taking this step?
Yeah, it's I'm very honored. And so, that I get to be a part of this and that this journey and this new step into new opportunities. And, the my mindset keeps going back to me as a young boy and that I never thought I could see this coming, where I would play for Lavelle one day and then be the head coach. So, yeah, it's just a great, great experience, and I love it. And so I'm very thankful, and a lot of people worked hard to get me here, and I just want to make them proud.
You're a good man, and I appreciate the time. Thanks, Kalani.
Appreciate it, Chef.
Coming up, is he the most athletic punter in college football? He might be. His teammates think so. BYU's Ryan Rico sits down with Jason Shepherd to get to know the man behind the big boot. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain alongside Cleon Wall. BYU Athletics is now officially a part of the Big 12, which could be considered a pioneering effort in and of itself. BYU football is picked to finish 11th in its first season in the conference. Is this good or bad, or does it matter, Cleon?
I think it's expected. I mean, I don't know. Were you hoping or were you thinking they would be chosen higher? Because I wasn't. When no. I saw, oh, yeah, they were picked 11th out of 14 teams, I'm like, yep, that sounds about right. Meaning, I think that's what people expected. I mean, what did you expect after what we saw from BYU last season? And that's kind of what people have to go off of. And there are so many changes, Lauren, with this BYU football team. New defensive staff, lots of guys coming in through the transfer portal, also guys going out through the transfer portal. We really don't know how good this football team will be. I think we see the potential because of what guys have done at other universities or what some of the guys have done here, but we just don't know who this team will be. And guys, the people who vote on these things, they're going to go with the known commodities. We know Texas is going to be tough. We expect Oklahoma to bounce back. Kansas State is going to be tough again. Texas Tech is a sleeper to win the conference. UCF played well last year in the AAC. I think people picking the conference title race are going with the known commodities and then kind of guessing at what the newcomers will bring with their final year of independence, or in the ACC, meaning BYU and those other teams. I think, though, we're always going to remember this team no matter how well they do, or at least something about this team. I finally remember the season BYU hired Gary Croton because it was my first year helping out broadcasting on the radio. It was a memorable moment with Luke Staley. I remember Bronco Mendenhall taking over in 2005. That team started out 1-3, and then they end up 6-6 and going to a bowl game. There was even a memorable loss against Utah that year. I will say that. It was a fun game. I even remember BYU's first year in the Mountain West after breaking away from the WAC, or maybe it's that I just really remember those bib uniforms. There's always a memory from like a big change, and I think it will be no different this season.
I think those bib uniforms are blurred out in my mind. I think my brain's like, those are so bad that I don't even ever want you to think about them again.
I think we should bring them back for one game. One game and one game only.
Oh, let's not. Let's not. Yeah. We can go into that in a different episode of why we absolutely should not do that. You mentioned Bronco Mendenhall taking over. That's something I'm always going to remember when BYU went independent. It was so dramatic back then. It's like BYU's not going to be in a conference, but look where it brought BYU. Little stepping stones to get where they ultimately wanted to be. And with that being said, don't you love that saying? With that being said, reminds me of all the guys in the transfer portal. I think BYU football's preseason ranking at 11 is a great spot. I think they can only meet or exceed those expectations. I don't think much can taint this first season unless BYU loses every single game, which they're not going to do. But I think we as fans just need to enjoy the ride this season, soak it all in, enjoy the handful of wins, and give the Cougars room to improve as the years go on. A guy that will be a big part of that journey is BYU 6'6 punter Ryan Rico. We get to know a lot more about him thanks to Jason Shepherd, including who on the football team he would not let babysit his future children. Here's the interview.
All right, I'm going to come out firing with the really important question.
Okay.
That question being superpowers.
Ooh.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be? I feel very strongly about my answer. I'm very curious to know where you go with this.
Okay, superpower?
Yes.
It's kind of like basic, maybe typical, but I feel like super speed.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of things you could do with that, and I think it might get overlooked.
Okay.
Even though it's pretty common.
Yes, okay. I'm a fly guy. I would want to fly.
Yeah.
I just think that when you think of superpowers, to me, that's the ultimate, is the flying.
Agreed.
Yes, okay, all right. We're in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Super speed.
Similar.
I would just fly really fast. You would run really fast.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yeah. So when you're away from football, what are you doing? What do you do to unwind?
Ooh, well, I'm married, so
right.
Spending time with the wife, number one thing, number one priority. But
way to get that in.
Yes,
getting points
gotta,
right off the
bat. Gotta get
that
one for Hadley. but honestly, we do like we're watching TV shows. We love to go out. I'm working at a golf course right now, so we'll go out to the golf course.
Like as a caddy?
No, what? I wish. That would be, I don't know if I'm good enough to be a caddy. I just do like the grounds.
Okay.
So I'm mowing lawns, getting a little bit of a tan, sunburn most of the time. We like the tan though when that comes in. But yeah, I get free golf out there. So as often as we can get out there, that's what we're doing right now during the summer.
Okay, and you're a bowler though too, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the, have you ever had a perfect game?
No.
Okay, what's the best game you've ever had?
Best game was like a 274. 274 was my best.
Really?
Yeah, so it was close.
Wow.
It was close, but there's a couple little mistakes in there that kept me from that perfect game.
So like if Cougar fans are over at the Wilk, are they gonna see you doing like cosmic bowling over at the...
Hey, once upon a time, I did take a bowling class in the Wilk.
Okay.
That was definitely good to like brush up on the skills, but yeah, back in high school, during the summers, we had these passes that would get us in for free.
Yeah.
We were there all day, every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, this is gonna let me know how serious of a bowler you are. Do you own the wrist brace?
I don't. I don't own the wrist brace, but that's because I don't need it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
There's that one.
All right, I like that. I like that.
Okay. Do you have a favorite punt?
Oh.
Do you have a punt that's still like, yeah, that may be my best, on any level?
I think, like, obviously the one against Arizona State, the 83-yarder,
yep.
Like, that was about as clean as I could kick it.
Yeah.
Great situation, like really open field. But honestly, I want to say it was my second or third punts against Utah where I like dropped it on the one, backspin, and just kind of set up our defense. That was one of those where I was like, that was pretty sweet.
And it's Utah.
Exactly. And it's like biggest game, crowds are going nuts. So I think those two are the ones that still like, I really love those moments.
Okay. So now this has been one of the questions I've asked everybody I've talked to. This is one people have had some fun with. If you ever needed a babysitter for your kids one day,
okay.
Who's the one teammate you would absolutely not want to be the babysitter?
Oh, would not? Oh, man. Let's see.
I will tell you this as you're thinking. A lot of the answers have been very close friends of the players, and the reason is they are afraid that the stories that they would tell about their dad to the kids would
That's true.
So that's kind of where some have gone.
Okay.
Where would you go? Who's the guy that you would not want to be the babysitter?
If that's the case, it would be Tyler Batty. Because me and Batty, like, we were roommates for, like, two, three years. We had a lot of stories, a lot of things that we were able to do together that were like, I don't know if we tell our kids that. But, man, if that was the case, just pure stories along Batty. If not, I don't know why it comes to mind, but Hobbs, just because Hobbs is like, I feel like he's just the extreme. Like, he's going to go out and do some fun stuff, and like, my kids are going to get hooked on that. They're like, I'm going to go back to Hobbs. Like, he's just way too fun.
Yeah.
So I'm like, ah, shoot, I don't know if I could open their eyes to that.
Okay. You know? See, I got to know Hobbs really well when he was part of the BYU baseball team.
Yeah.
So I got to know him really well with that. Hobbs is a great guy.
Yeah, I love Hobbs.
He's a good
love
guy.
Love Hobbs.
All right, let's wrap up with this. And this is certainly more football related. What's this like, finally being here and part of this conference now?
Yeah, I think, I remember like when I was getting recruited, there was rumors of us joining the Big 12 back then. And so I remember like looking up all the stadiums, like, oh, we could play at this venue. And so now the fact we're in the conference, we're going to be playing some like historic, awesome teams every single week. That just gets me pumped for the season. Like, there's going to be some big stages that we're going to be able to go show what we can do, not only as individuals, but the school as well, the team that we are. You just get excited for it. We're pumped.
Ryan, great stuff, man. Good luck this
year. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And that does it for us today. Thanks again to Kalani Sitake, Ryan Rico, and Jason Shepherd for coming on the show with us. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.